Tap out, Sawyer shouts from the edge of the mat. My hand is a little busy at the moment, I respond without looking away from Dane.
Violet.
Dane starts. You may have been my oldest friend, my best friend, but that all died the day you violated my privacy, stole my memory, and got Liam and Soleil killed. I will never forgive you for that. I press just hard enough for the blade to scrape against the stubbled skin of his upper throat. His eyes flare with something that looks like devastation.
Your mother did it,
he whispers, and slowly rises, first to his knees, removing his forearm from my collarbone, and then to his feet. She wins, he says as he walks off the mat. I tap out. He didn't mean that. There's no way my mother sliced into Zayden 107 times. Dane's just trying to get under my skin. I lie there for a handful of breaths, calming my racing pulse. Then I sheath my blade and roll, gaining my feet awkwardly. Emeterio calls the next challenge, and I walk off the mat and take my place between Rhiannon and Bodhi like nothing happened. Violet? The question in Bodhi's eyes makes me shake my head in reply. He didn't touch me. Every secret in my head is safe. Bodhi nods, then leaves our mat as Arik faces off against a guy from Tail's section, who looks like he might actually have a shot of ending Arik's winning streak.
Walk with me,
Rhiannon demands, her jaw tense. Now! Are you pulling rank on me?
Do I have to?
She folds her arms across her chest. No, of course not, I sigh, then follow her to the edge of the gym.
What was that about the something he stole?
Rhiannon asks, because whatever it wasn't about defeating you. Yes, I answer, rolling my neck, as the after effects of the adrenaline roll through me, nausea taking the lead. She waits for me to add to my answer, and when I don't, she sighs. You've been off all day, is it because of the attack? Yes. I glance over her shoulder and glimpse Imogen watching us. Does she know Mason's dead? Are you really going to make me pry answers out of you? Her arms fall to her sides. I swear to Amari, if you answer with a yes one more time, I say nothing instead. I heard what you said in history, you know. She drops her shoulders. You said something about an assassination.
Fuck.
Yeah, I guess I did. She studies me, her gaze flickering between my eyes. Who else besides Mason is dead that went to Athbeen with you? My gaze collides with hers, and my heart starts to pound. Kieran, he was in third squad. I'm not telling her anything that isn't easily answered by anyone else. And you were attacked on assessment day. Imogen's been targeted twice since Parapet 2. So were Bodhi and Aya. Her gaze narrows. Dane has one of those classified signets, she whispers.
What did he steal, Violet?
God, she's putting it together too quickly. She's also owed as much of the truth as I can give her.
A memory,
I say slowly. Her eyes flare.
He can read memories.
I nod. No one is supposed to know.
I can keep a secret, Violet.
Hurt flashes across her features, and I feel another thread of our friendship unravel as though I'd pulled it myself. A chorus of cheers goes up behind us, but neither of us looks.
I know.
It's barely a whisper. And I trust you implicitly, but not every secret is mine to tell. Dread digs its claws into my stomach. She's going to figure it out. It's only a matter of time, and then her life will be in as much jeopardy as mine.
Dane stole one of your memories, she repeats, and now you think the other riders with you during war games are being picked off.
Stop, I beg her. Do us both a favor and just... I shake my head. Stop. Her brow knits.
You saw something you weren't supposed to. Didn't you?
She tilts her head to the side, then looks away. I stop breathing. I know that look. She's thinking.
Is that the memory he stole? No, I inhale. Thank God she's off the mark with that one. Movement to the right catches my attention, and I glance over to see Arik walking our way, cradling his left wrist. Shit, I think he's hurt. What killed Day? Rhiannon asks. Suddenly, there's not enough oxygen in the room, on the entire continent, but I manage to pull air through my lungs as I face her. You already know that part of the story. Not from you, she says quietly, her brown eyes crinkling at the edges as she narrows them. You were holding Liam, and then you had to fight. That's what you said. What killed Day? The whispered words cut me to the quick. Was it another dragon? Is that what happened out there? No. I shake my head emphatically, then turn as Arik reaches us. Finally lose? He scoffs. Of course not, but I did break my wrist. I'm supposed to come tell you, he says to Rhiannon. I'll take him to the infirmary, I tell her. Violet, she starts, her tone indicating that she doesn't think our conversation is over, but it is. It has to be. Stop. I turn my back on Arik and lower my voice. And don't ever ask me that question again. Please, don't make me lie to you. Her head draws back, and she stares at me in stunned silence. Let's go, I say to Arik, then start walking to the exit, shoving what just happened with Rhi into what's quickly becoming an overfull box. He catches up, his long legs covering the distance quickly. The corridor of the academic wing's first floor is deserted when we enter, and our booted footsteps echo against the windows. So where does your father think you are? I ask as we turn toward the rotunda, trying to take my mind off everything I just let slip to Rhiannon and everything I didn't. He thinks I'm on my 20th birthday tour, Arik answers, rubbing his hand over his square jawline and light brown scruff, disgust curling his upper lip. Drinking and fucking my way across the kingdom. Sounds like way more fun than what we're doing here. I push the door open with my good arm. What part of this isn't fun? He asks, walking ahead and opening the next door with his unbroken hand. Between the two of us, we have a full set of functioning arms. I crack a smile as we enter the dormitory corridor. Ever the charmer, aren't you, Cam? I wince. Arik. Sorry, it's been a hell of a long day. And all I want is to tell Zayden about it, but he won't be here for 2 more days. We head down the steps, and though Arik is roughly the same height as Zayden, he shortens his stride so I can keep up easily. She's catching on, isn't she? He says when we reach the tunnels. The hairs on the back of my neck lift as I look up at Arik. Catching on to what, exactly? They haven't hidden it all away as well as they think they have. His jaw flexes. It's easy to figure out if you know what you're looking for. Personally, it was the daggers my guards started carrying that tipped me off. He shoots a look at me. The ones with the little metal discs. My heart pounds so loudly I can hear it in my ears. Daggers, metal discs. The guards were the hardest to slip, too, he says with a grimace. They won't tell my father they've lost me until they absolutely have to. I'm just hoping it's after threshing. He can't do shit after threshing. Dragons don't even answer to kings. Oh, shit. My chest feels like it's caving in, and I grab hold of his good arm, halting our steps before the tunnel. You know, don't you? He lifts a brow, the mage lights catching on those royally green eyes. Why else would I be here? An excerpt from page 91, The Book of Brennan. At some point, probably during your second year, you'll realize the trust you feel for your friends and family has nothing on the loyalty you develop for your squad. Chapter 22. faster. I have to run faster. Fear holds my throat shut as a tidal wave of death chases me across the sunburned field to where Tarn waits, his back turned. Wind roars around me, stealing every other sound, even my own heartbeat. Tarn's going to die, and he doesn't even see it coming for him. Gold flickers near the tip of his wing. God, no, Andarna, she's here. She shouldn't be here. The wave nips at my heels, transforming the ground beneath my feet into an ashen, desiccated wasteland.
There is nowhere to run, rider.
A hooded figure steps into my path out of nowhere, raising one arm. I'm yanked off my feet by an unseen force and lifted into the air, completely immobilized. The wave of death halts and the wind falls silent, as if he stopped time. He shifts his staff to the other hand, then pulls back the thick maroon hood of his floor-length robes with gnarled fingers, revealing the white of his scalp under his slicked back, thinning hair. Shadows mark the gaunt hollows of his cheekbones on an eerily youthful face, and his lips are cracked and dry, just like the land behind me. But it's his red-rimmed eyes, the distended veins spider-webbing across his temples and cheeks, that have me fighting to open my mouth, straining to scream. Fennin.
So disappointing.
He lectures, as if he's my sage and not the teacher of the dark wielder I killed on Tarn's back.
All that power at your fingertips, and yet you insist on fleeing over and over, using the same failed tactics and expecting what?
He tilts his head to the side.
To escape.
My ribs tighten around my lungs as terror takes hold, and I force a garbled sound through my throat, but it does nothing to warn Tarn and Andarna.
There is no escaping me, rider,
he whispers, his fingers ghosting over my cheek but not quite touching.
Fight me and die, or join me and live beyond the ages, but you will never escape me. Not when I've waited centuries for someone with your power.
Fuck you. It comes out as a whisper, but I mean it with every bone in my body.
Death it is.
He looks so disappointed as he lowers his hand. Wind howls as I fall to the ground. A scream tears through my body as a wave of agony rolls over my skin and bones, leeching the very essence of my energy until I wake, my heart pounding, my skin clammy, my fingers wrapped around my black-hilted dagger. Just a dream. Just a dream. Just a dream.
Are you going to tell me where we're going? I ask Zayden on Saturday as he leads me down the stairs from my dorm room. To Basgaius Forge, he says as we emerge from the academic wing into the empty courtyard. It's finally the time of year when the temperature outside matches inside. Autumn is settling in. My chest tightens as I realize he's taking me to see where they steal the weapons and what that means. He's letting me in.
Thank you for trusting me. The words don't do the feeling justice.
You're welcome.
He looks down at me, his expression shifting.
Will I earn a little trust back now?
I nod, tearing my gaze away from his before I do something reckless, like let those three little words he wants spill out just because we're having a moment. But I can share with him a secret of mine as well.
I found a text that said the first six didn't just establish the wards, but personally carved the first wardstone.
We knew that.
Partially.
We cross down to the tunnels to the flight field, and I nod at one of our first years. Channing, Chapman, Sharon?
Shit, it's something like that.
I'll learn it in a couple of weeks, after threshing.
The text said, first wardstone, which means if they carved the one here, there's a good chance they carved the one in Aracia. I'm on the right track.
Good point.
He jerks open the door to the tunnels and I walk inside. I know what I need to look for, but I'm not sure where it would even exist.
Witches? He asks as we move toward the stairs.
My pulse is thrumming with excitement to finally see the forge, get a look at the luminary that the revolution needs so badly, too. I need a first-hand account from one of the six. My father talked about seeing one once, so I know they exist. Question is, if they've been translated and redacted into uselessness.
We turned into the staircase and both stop abruptly. Major Varish blocks our path.
Ah, nice to see you, Lieutenant Ryerson.
His smile is just as greasy as ever. Fear squeezes my heart. Zayden is carrying enough contraband to see him executed 24 times.
Wish I could say the same, Zayden retorts.
Found her, Varish calls up the stairs.
Shouldn't you be headed over to the main campus, Ryerson?
Surely that's where officers lodge when visiting.
His gaze flicks my way. It takes all my willpower not to retreat.
There you are, Cadet Sorengale.
Professor Grady offers me a genuine smile as he descends, his arm linked through Riddick's, whose hands are behind his back. Riddick shoots me a warning look, and dread settles heavily in my chest.
No, not today. We're being taken.
Turns out you're quite hard to catch by surprise, Professor Grady says, a note of admiration in his voice. Your door doesn't allow anyone entrance.
He glances at Zayden, his focus shifting to the exposed swirls of his rebellion relic just under his jaw.
I'm guessing she has you to thank for that, since second years can't ward. Makes nabbing her for interrogation training a little difficult.
I'm not going to apologize.
Zayden's eyebrows lower as Varish's riders, the ones who usually dump my belongings on the flight field, both turn the corner above Professor Grady. One escorts Rhiannon and the other Sawyer. Both of them have their hands bound behind their backs.
Looks like our squad is next for interrogation. And I almost just saw the mother of all secrets around here. I force myself to breathe, fighting to keep the nausea at bay.
She's on leave.
Zayden sweeps me to the side, putting me behind his back.
And recovering from an injury.
Shadows race from the edges of the stairwell, rising to form a waist-high wall.
He'll use this opportunity to kill you for the embarrassment Taryn put him and Solas through.
You can't possibly know that.
His intentions are pretty fucking clear. Trust me.
No. You're on leave, Varish says, delight sparkling in his eyes. Cadet Sorengale is headed out for training.
He jabs his finger at the wall of shadow and winces.
Well, that's fascinating. No wonder you're so coveted. The pair of you really are quite something.
You cannot protect me from this any more than you could threshing, I tell Zayden, stepping out from the shelter of his body. You know it's true.
You weren't mine at threshing, he counters.
I'm not yours now, I remind him.
I'll be fine, I say out loud. Drop the barrier.
Do listen to your little girlfriend, Varish suggests. I'd hate to report that you disobeyed a direct order, or worse, cancel her leave for next weekend. There's really nothing you can do here.
Oh, fuck, that is not the way to deal with Zayden. Ordering him around only makes him push that much harder, and separating Taryn and Sigale for 2 weeks is more than they can take.
I'm not in your chain of command. Therefore, I'm under no obligation to follow your fucking orders, and there is always something I can do. She's in no condition to be tortured, and if her fucking wing leader isn't here to advocate for her, then I will. Sigale!
I reach out through the one pathway I avoid at almost every cost. They're going to cancel next week's leave if he doesn't relent.
How hurt are you? Grady asks, concern on his face.
Dislocated my shoulder last week, I answer.
I chose him for his inability to relent,
Sigale reminds me.
Not helpful at the moment. Do I need to remind you of what he's carrying?
Fine, but only so this conversation ends.
Her wing leader is otherwise engaged,
Varish says to Zayden. And feel free to continue to argue with me, you're right. You're not under my chain of command, but as I had to remind her dragon, she is.
Or did you not hear about her disciplinary session?
I'd hate for her to have to repeat it simply for you to learn your lesson, Lieutenant.
Then again, you could always join us.
Zayden smiles, but it's not the kind that warms my heart. It's the one that chills every cell in my body to ice, the cruel, menacing curve I first saw on the dais when he was my wing leader.
One day, Major Varish, you and I are going to have words.
He drops the shadow barrier and lifts a brow at me.
You went to Sigale?
I make no apologies for saving your ass from your own stubbornness.
I put out my good hand and Grady steps forward, binding it mercifully to the other protruding from the sling. At least he didn't wrench my hurt shoulder behind my back, but damn, the rope is tight.
There's a book on my desk that needs to be returned to the archives.
Anger burns in the depths of his gold-flecked onyx eyes.
I'll see that it's done.
See you next week, I whisper. Tell her page 304 mentions a text I'd like to read next.
Next week, he responds with a nod, his fists clenched as Varish walks by with the others in my squad. Violence? Remember, it's only the body that's fragile. You are unbreakable.
Unbreakable, I repeat to myself as Professor Grady leads me away.
An excerpt from Major Afendra's Guide to the Writer's Quadrant, unauthorized edition. The things that happen behind closed doors in the Writer's Quadrant in order to turn young cadets into full-fledged riders, are enough to turn even the staunchest of stomachs. Those prone to queasiness should not pry. Chapter 23. The key can be found in my desk drawer. As far as secret phrases go, that one is laughably uncreative, but nevertheless, it's the one I'm quietly given after we enter the training facility. The entrance is so well hidden in the cliffside under the foundation walls of the quadrant that I've never seen it in all the years I've lived here. It's remarkably accessible for its intended purpose. The antechamber of the windowless, guarded cave isn't too bad as far as torture chambers come. It could even double as an office. A large wooden desk consumes the center of the space, with a high-backed chair on one side and two on the other. They disarm us as soon as we arrive, our weapons taking up a respectable amount of the desk's surface. But it's the two chambers beyond that make me wish I hadn't eaten breakfast. Both doors are braced with steel, and both have a barred window currently held closed by a steel latch.
You've all been given your classified information to protect, Professor Grady says, leading us into the chamber on the right. There's a scarred wooden table in the center of the dome-shaped room with six chairs, and along the cobblestone walls are five wooden beds with no mattresses and a door that I'm desperately hoping leads to a bathroom or things are going to get awkward over the next couple of days.
Have a seat, he gestures to the table.
We all do as we're told.
Rhiannon and I take the chairs across from Sawyer and Riddick, the wood scraping the stone as we sit, all managing it without the use of our hands.
For right now, we're in what's called a classroom setting.
Remember what that means? Professor Grady reaches behind Sawyer and, a second later, Sawyer's hands are free.
It means we're not in the graded scenario, Rhiannon answers. We can ask questions.
Correct. Professor Grady moves to Riddick and does the same.
The purpose of this exercise really is to teach you how to survive capture, he assures us. These next couple of days are instructional only.
He reaches for my bonds next, untying the rope with surprising gentleness. It's an assessment.
So you know which buttons to push when it's the real thing? Riddick says, rubbing his wrists.
Exactly, Professor Grady smiles. Is it going to be fun? Absolutely not. Are we going to show you mercy? Also no. He moves on to Rhiannon once my hands are free. And Vice Commandant Varish seems to have taken an interest in your squad, no doubt because you have quite the legacy here in Cadet Sorengale. So unfortunately, it looks like we'll all be evaluated in how we handle this. Two riders walk in with trays of food and pewter mugs, setting them down on the table. There are more than enough biscuits for the four of us and a jar of what looks to be strawberry jam. Eat and drink, Professor Grady says, gesturing to the trays. You won't have the opportunity once we enter the scenario. Also, he flashes a grin. There's a patch up for grabs if you manage to escape, though from what I hear, no squad has managed it in the last decade. It's as good as ours, Riddick responds. Confidence, Professor Grady nods at Riddick. I like that in a second year. He moves toward the door, then turns. I'll let you know when we begin the scenario. Until then, you all need to share a secret, something no one else outside the four of you could possibly know. And yes, we're going to try and force it out of you along with the secret phrases you've already been given. Remember the coping mechanisms you've been taught in class so far, and this will be over before you know it. Every rider who graduates has sat where you're sitting and made it through what you're about to experience. Have faith in yourself. We're doing this for you, not to you. He offers a final reassuring smile, then takes his leave, shutting the door behind him. Rhiannon moves immediately to the door, examining the bars and sealed hatch. It's not sound shielded that I can tell, but if we keep our voices down, we should have a modicum of privacy. She tries the handle, and we're definitely locked in. Sawyer parcels out the food onto the four plates we've been given. It's all so civilized, I note as he slides a plate in front of me. Rhiannon checks the other door. And that's a bathroom, thank gods. I wonder if they take it away during the actual test, Riddick muses, slathering jam onto his biscuit with the lone knife we've been provided. Fuck, I hope not, Sawyer says, taking the knife from Riddick. Anyone else wondering if we're expecting company? He nods toward the bed on the end. Statistically, 5 second years are alive in each squad at this point, I say, reaching for one of the mugs on the tray. We lost Nadine. Silence falls for a second, then two. Well, we're not losing anyone else. The four of us will make it to graduation, Rhiannon says, grabbing a mug for herself too. She sniffs at it, then sets it down. Smells like apple juice. All right, we don't know how much time we have, so let's go. Pick a secret, any secret, and share with the group. The knife and jam go to her next. I'll start. Last year, while we were at Montserrat, Violet and I snuck out so I could see my family. You what? Sawyer's brows rise. Riddick swallows his bite. Badass. Didn't know you had it in you to break the rules, Violet. Oh, Violet's full of secrets, aren't you? Rhiannon shoots a look my way and hands me the knife. Really? I dish out the jam a little too aggressively. Whoa, Riddick glances between us. Am I picking up on some tension? No, Rhi and I simultaneously answer, then look at each other. Both our shoulders sag and she sighs, looking away. I guess that's where our line is drawn. This thing we're going through is just between us. We're fine, she says. Somehow that makes me feel a little better, but not much. I bite into the biscuit and chew thoroughly just in case whatever they put us through makes me puke it up later. I need a secret I can share that won't get any of them killed. I didn't tell my parents I had to repeat, Sawyer says, his gaze locked on his plate. They didn't even question my first letter this year. They assumed that Riders Quadrant cadets couldn't write for the first 2 years. And I let them believe it. I just didn't want them to be embarrassed of me. You're not an embarrassment, I say softly, reaching for my mug. And I'm sure they're just glad you're alive. So many of us aren't.
Agreed, Riddick nods, his hands wrapped around his mug. I'm terrified of snakes.
That's a shitty secret, Sawyer counters, his mouth lifting into a smile.
Surprise me with one and you'll see just how shitty. Besides, you didn't know it, so I think it qualifies.
Riddick shrugs.
We're not supposed to have a weakness in the quadrant, right? That's my weakness. I scream like a toddler every time I see one.
Everyone looks my way. Here we go. I'm in love with Zayden Ryerson. Mira, them, I seem to be able to say the words to anyone who isn't Zayden.
Hate to break it to you, but that's not a secret, Riddick says, shaking his head.
Yes, it is, I argue, my grip tightening on the mug.
No, Sawyer chimes in. It's really not.
Hasn't been for a while. Ree adds, giving me the first real smile I've seen from her in weeks. You're going to have to do better than that. They're supposed to be my center, my backbone, my safe place. That's why squad mates are forbidden from killing each other. Venon, Wyvern, the Daggers, the Wards, Andarna, Brennan, Aresha. I have too many secrets to count, and none of them are safer for it. They're just blissfully ignorant.
Can't my secret be the same as Rhiannon's? I ask. No, they all answer.
One thing. There has to be one thing I can tell them that might help prepare them for what's coming. Our infantry is killing Peromish civilians at the border.
What?
Sawyer leans in, his freckles standing out as the blood drains from his face.
There's no way, Riddick argues.
Rhiannon stares silently at me. Happened while I was at Samara. I look them each in the eye. Whether or not we're getting updated at battle brief, it's happening.
Good enough secret?
They all nod, and I look away when I catch Rhiannon studying me.
Good,
I say, lifting my mug. The others do the same. I breathe in, tilting the mug to drink.
Stop, I hiss. Don't drink it.
I set it down like the poison it is.
What the hell?
Riddick asks, putting his mug on the table.
It smells like the water they gave us before the land navigation course, I whisper.
Ree and Sawyer set theirs down too.
They're trying to disconnect us from our dragons,
Sawyer notes.
Or dull our signets, Rhiannon adds. Did anyone drink?
We all shake our heads.
Good. Don't tell them. Fake the disconnect.
She rises quickly, and we follow, each dumping the content of our mugs in the toilet.
We can survive for 3 days without water. And we should be out of here tomorrow. No matter how thirsty we get, we'll live. We hold the line.
Now I understand the biscuits. My mouth feels like I've been eating sand.
We hold the line, Sawyer agrees as we return to the table and sit. Fuck tomorrow. I say we break out tonight,
Riddick whispers.
There have to be keys that you can transport, right?
He says to Ree.
Not through walls. She shakes her head. I'm close, but not there yet. Or you can bend the metal hinges?
That one is directed to Sawyer.
Hell, I can pull moisture out of the air and force ice through the lock.
He turns to me. I'm of absolutely no use in this situation. I lean back in my chair. The door swings open and Professor Grady walks in.
We can't reach our dragons, Ree says, lifting her chin. You tricked us.
Lesson number one. He holds up a finger.
We're always in scenario.
10 minutes later, we find out what the second chamber holds. Not much, when they chain Riddick, Rhiannon, and Sawyer to the rock wall they've been ordered to sit against. They're close enough together that they can almost, but not quite, touch as their wrists are cuffed in hanging manacles. There are at least 6 other sets on either side of the trio, and the mage lights above us show every dried blood spatter on the stone.
I'm guessing the seat is for me, I ask Professor Grady, eyeing the stained wooden chair in the center of the cylindrical room and its shackles along each armrest and leg.
My heart pounds like it has a chance of escaping my chest, escaping this room. There's a drain under the chair, but I refuse to even think about what it's for. It is. He motions and I sit, ignoring every instinct to flee. Panic threatens to choke me as he locks my right arm into the shackle, then does the same with both of my legs, leaving my dislocated shoulder in the sling. Here is where I leave you.
You what?
Riddick pulls against the shackles at his wrists, but they don't give. I'll read the reports and give you my advice before the exam, he tells us. But we learned a long time ago that it doesn't exactly foster trust between cadets and professors if we're the ones doing the questioning. He looks at each of us in turn. Remember what you've been taught. They'll try to separate you, turn you against one another, or make you think that talking is an act of mercy. Use the strategies from your reading. Lean on one another. I'll be just outside the entrance. You make it to me, you earn that patch. Good luck.
He smiles like he didn't just serve us up to be beaten, then leaves.
Is now a good time to admit that I haven't done this portion of the reading? Riddick asks once we're alone.
No! Rhiannon shoots him a glare.
Violet, are you all right? Sawyer asks. I'm the only one in a chair, so I feel like I'm one up on you guys, I joke, but it falls flat as the door opens behind me.
Two riders I've never seen before, one man, one woman, enter. The man offers us a smile.
Well, hello there. You are all prisoners selected for interrogation, he says, leaning against the wall just out of reach from Sawyer. He's average, unremarkable in height, looks, even his hair. I could have passed him a dozen times in the halls of Besgaeth or any of the outposts and not noticed him. Same goes for the woman. It's as if being unmemorable is necessary to the job. The woman circles me, a vulture scenting for weakness. I lift my chin, determined to show none.
You each have one piece of information we need, the man says. Give it up now and this all ends. It's as easy as that.
My map is under my mattress, Riddick says.
My jaw fucking drops.
Ha ha, going with the start by lying immediately so they won't know when you tell the truth strategy. The man grins. Good one. But unfortunately for you, my signet is similar to Lieutenant Nora's and has to do with your bodily functions. In layman's terms, I'll know when you're lying, and you are lying.
The woman lashes out, the back of her hand striking my cheeks so hard that my head snaps to the side. Pain bursts and I blink rapidly, then run my tongue over my teeth. No blood.
Silver one! Not now! I slam my shields up to spare him this.
Violet, Riddick shouts, surging against his chains.
I'm all right, I tell him, tell all of them. I do what I always do, compartmentalize the pain and push past it, forcing a smile. See? Fine. Rhiannon quickly masks her horror, but Sawyer doesn't bother to hide his disgust with our captors.
You're the weakest. That's why you're up first, the woman says, disdain dripping from her low voice. We've read the files on all of you.
She drops to a crouch in front of me, then looks me over, her attention catching on my hair, the sting of heat at my cheek that I'm sure bears her handprint, and finally the sling.
How did someone as frail as you survive your first year?
You three carried her, didn't you? The man says, looking at my squad mates. What an unfair burden to put on first years.
Don't tell them anything they can use against us, Rhiannon orders.
The woman laughs.
As if we don't know everything already.
She stands slowly.
Tell us the secret you're keeping.
Fuck off, I brace. And sure enough, her hand flies at my face. This time I taste blood, but none of my teeth are loose. I build a mental wall around the pain, picturing it disappearing beneath the box I build for it, just like I do with my shields.
Quite the mouth for a general's daughter, the woman sneers. Who do you think I got it from?
Her facade slips and she genuinely smiles for a heartbeat before masking it.
How about this? Any of you give up your secret, and I won't shatter her pretty little face.
It's going to take a lot more than that to break us, Rhiannon says. I couldn't agree more. Don't watch, I tell my squad mates, then brace. She hits from the other side, striking higher, and my cheek explodes. At least that's how it feels. The initial wave nauseates me, then dissipates into a dull throb. My vision in my right eye blurs, and something wet trickles down my cheek. Maybe she's not the key, the woman says, backing away from me and heading for the others. Maybe you're all sick and tired of having to carry her frail weight. She tips Riddick's head up. Or maybe she's only strong for herself. She closed fist punches him in the face. Blood and saliva hit the wall next to him. Rage overtakes the pain, and I try to rock forward, but not only are my arms and legs shackled, the chair is bolted to the floor. She looks over her shoulder at me.
You have the power to make it stop, she hits again.
I close my eyes and wish I could close my ears when I hear his grunt after the next punch, and the next, and the next. When I open my eyes, correction, we've all taken a hit.
Let them sit with that for a minute, the man suggests. They'll soften up in a couple of hours.
The woman agrees and they leave us, shutting the door, but not the hatch on the window.
Well, this fucking sucks.
Sawyer spits blood onto the floor.
Violet, your eye, Rhiannon says softly.
It's swelling shut, not falling out. I shrug with my good shoulder.
If that's their opening, what's next?
Riddick asks. His cheek is split wide open.
They'll try to turn us against one another, Rhiannon answers.
We don't break. Agreed?
Agreed. We all say it. The worst part isn't the pain or the swollen eye. It's the hours of waiting, the not knowing when they're going to come back and dish out worse. And then worse comes and leaves us all with more bruises in various places. I'm pretty sure that last blow left Sawyer concussed.
Without windows, it's impossible to know how much longer we have to hold out for when we don't know what time it...
What time is it?
I ask Zayden, lifting my shields just enough to communicate.
Almost midnight, he answers. Don't finish that question. You know what happens down here.
Yeah, I do.
It's almost midnight, I tell the others quietly. We still have all night to go.
Is Taryn listening for the bells?
Sawyer asks, turning his face against his shackled arm to clear some of the blood off. Not exact. The door opens and the man walks in carrying a pewter mug.
Who's thirsty?
He drops it down in front of Sawyer, blocking my view of his face.
It's right here, and you don't even have to give me your secret. You just have to tell me one of their personal ones.
He motions down the line.
It doesn't count as breaking. It's just a personal detail that doesn't mean anything. Fuck you.
Pity,
the man tilts his head.
You're just not thirsty enough yet. Don't worry. You'll get there.
He moves to Rhiannon, then Riddick, then me. Our answers are all the same.
Tight-knit group, aren't they?
Chills race down my spine as Varish walks in, eyeing us all with unfettered joy.
They are, sir, the man says.
Varish rubs his thumb across his chin.
Doesn't someone usually give up a personal detail by now?
They do, sir.
Pride flares behind my ribs. Varish leans down and flicks the green iron squad patch on Riddick's chest.
I'm guessing that's how they earned this last year.
He stands and sighs.
This is taking too long.
Sir, we used standard interrogation protocol, the woman says, entering the chamber.
Then it's a good thing that I'm here.
His cheery disposition scares me more than the woman's fist.
This is my area of expertise, interrogation. And I have just the thing to crack them in record time.
He looks toward the hallway, then crooks his fingers.
Come on in. Don't be shy.
Rhiannon's eyes flare, her gaze jumping from the doorway to me. The fear I see there hits me like a punch to the stomach.
I believe you all know Wing Leader Atos.
An excerpt from Major Afendra's Guide to the Rider's Quadrant, unauthorized edition. Every few years, a squad comes along that defies all expectations. They rise through the ranks, secure every patch, win every challenge. And then, they inexplicably falter, then fall. They call it the burnout effect. They flare too fast, too bright to sustain the pace. Sad, really, but mildly entertaining to watch them turn on one another. Chapter 24. Dane steps into view and my heart hits the stone floor as he surveys my friends, then turns toward me. His eyes widen as he takes stock of my bruised and swollen face.
Violet.
Dane is here. I reach for Zayden even as fear freezes me in place. This can't happen. I'm unsure how much Dane knows, but it's definitely not as much as I do.
I'm on my way.
The tense tone of Zayden's voice is all it takes for me to know how deep the shit is about to get.
You can't do anything.
I reinforce my shields, putting all my mental energy into the task of drawing power from Tarn to bolster them, stacking the bricks too deep around my mental archives.
I don't understand, Sawyer says. Why is our wing leader here?
He's advocating for her like Ryerson said a wing leader should. Riddick answers, hope in his voice. Aren't you?
He's not, I answer, keeping my eyes on Dane and his hands.
Regulations state that riders should be healthy before beginning interrogation assessment, Dane barks, ripping his gaze from mine to address Varish. Cadet Sorengale is clearly not healthy.
I blink in sheer surprise.
Such a rule follower,
Varish clucks his tongue.
Regulations say they should, not that they have to be. It's more realistic that a rider would be wounded when captured.
What am I doing here? Dane demands.
Testing a theory, Varish smiles. But while we're waiting for our guest to arrive, you should practice on her, he points to me.
Guest, my fear is replaced with anger.
Don't come. Varish wants to see if you will. I think he's testing the bond-blocking mixture. If he sees your memory, the entire movement is at risk. And if you come in here whipping shadows around, he'll know I have something to hide, and this will become a real interrogation. Your only option is to trust that you trained me well enough.
A rescue sounds great in theory, but would fuck all of us.
Violet,
the plea in his voice nearly breaks me. I shove that last brick in place and block Zayden out.
You want me to, Dane lifts his brows.
Yes, use your signet on her, only to draw out the secret phrase, of course.
My signet is classified,
and she already knows what it is,
Varish says, shaking his head like this is all no big deal. Doesn't she? That's why she's so angry with you. She blames you for what happened to her friend.
He walks forward.
It's amazing what you can learn by simply observing.
Dane shakes his head. I'm not doing this.
Then who are you going to practice on to extend your ability past recent events?
We're running out of civilians around here for Nolan to mend. And if you think she hasn't told the rest of her squad your little secret, you're giving her far too much credit.
Holy shit. While Carr is my teacher, Varish is Dane's. What the hell is our Vice Commandant's signet?
Dane stiffens, his eyes searching mine.
I don't deny it. I can't. I'm a shitty liar. And with the Lie Finder, or whatever his signet is called, on the other side of the room, I'm better off keeping my mouth shut.
This is what your signet is made for. You're the first line of defense, Atos. She could be a Peromish spy or a Griffin rider. You could save the entire kingdom by just plucking her secrets from her memory.
Varish looks at me like I'm an animal made to be studied.
You can see what really happened that day when the two marked ones were killed by...
He cocks his head to the side. Griffins, wasn't it, Cadet Sorengale?
The truth is waiting, Wing Leader Atos. And you're the only one who can see it.
Breathe in. Breathe out. I concentrate on steadying my heart rate and holding Dane's gaze.
Holy shit, Riddick mutters. He can what?
I keep my focus on Dane. How can someone be so familiar and yet such a stranger? He's the same boy I climbed trees with, the same one I ran to whenever anything went wrong. But he's also the reason Soleil and Liam are dead.
You could learn what it is she sees in him, Varish whispers, getting closer to Dane. Why she chose him over you. Don't you want to know? All the answers are right there.
You just have to know where to reach.
Have to give it to him. He's convincing as fuck.
The war within Dane's eyes makes my throat tighten, and when he reaches for my face with both hands, I arch my neck, leaning as far back as the chair will let me.
No, I force the word out.
No, he repeats my refusal, slowly, then drops his hands, his gaze falling from mine.
I will not participate in an interrogation assessment of a cadet with a prior injury, he says over his shoulder at Varish. Then he walks out. I drag a breath in, air wheezing past the tightness of my throat and into my lungs.
Rhiannon's eyes meet mine, then slide shut slowly in relief.
Well, that was disappointing and anticlimactic, Varish says with the first frown I've ever seen on his face. Fucking rule follower. Back to typical tactics, I guess.
He draws back before I can brace and throws a hard punch to my dislocated shoulder. Agony overwhelms every one of my senses. Then, there's only black. Nolan hovers above me when I wake. I jolt up from the wooden bed and he rears back.
There she is, he says, settling into the chair next to the bed. What time is it?
I glance around the room, quickly spotting Rhiannon, Sawyer, and Riddick sitting on bunks. They don't look any more injured than they did before I passed out, before Varish punched my shoulder out of the socket. Gingerly, I rotate the joint, then look at Nolan. I'm mended. There's an ache, but nothing more, and I can see out of both eyes. He nods.
It's morning,
Rhi answers, worry lining her forehead. I think. I reach for Zayden, but the pathway is opaque again. He's gone.
The Vice Commandant called me in to heal you.
Nolan's voice drops, and he leans forward.
So he can shatter you again and again until you break. I'm on orders to remain in the antechamber for the rest of your interrogation, which he's extended until tomorrow.
Dread knots my empty stomach.
Is that normal?
Sawyer asks, leaning toward me and bracing his forearms on his knees.
No, Nolan answers, holding my gaze. He wants whatever it is you know, Violet.
He reaches for my hand and squeezes lightly.
Is it worth holding on to?
I nod.
Is it worth watching your squad mates tortured?
I wince, but nod again.
I think I've had my head buried in other matters for too long.
He sighs, then stands.
Why don't you walk me to the door?
I swing my legs over the bunk, then do as he asks, following him to the chamber's door. Rhiannon isn't far behind.
You'd better find a way out,
he whispers to me before speaking through the open window.
I'm done for now.
The door opens and Nolan escapes.
I'll close it, he tells whoever it is on the other side.
His eyes meet mine through the window as he shuts the door, the lock audibly clicking into place, but not the window. Rhiannon tugs me down and we both drop into a crouch.
I've been thinking about my other patient, Nolan says casually.
What about him? Varish replies.
He spent the night in the infirmary again.
Sorengale will have to sleep off the mending for another hour or so. Why don't you walk back with me and see if your particular skills could be of use? I might be overlooking something. Rhiannon and I exchange the same confused look.
You think the sessions are failing?
Varish asks.
I think I've done all I can for him, Nolan answers,
I'm not going to sit here all day and waste time while she's sleeping.
Fine, we'll go,
Varys replies. We have to be quick. The others are fetching breakfast.
Then by all means, let's make it fast.
A moment later, the antechamber door opens and closes. Rhiannon and I stand slowly, then peer through the window.
I think we're alone, she whispers.
Agreed.
We have to get out of here, Rhiannon says to the guys. I really honestly think Varys might try to kill Violet.
My stomach flips.
Oh, Dune, she actually said it.
Are you serious? Sawyer asks, his eyes bulging, but Riddick stays quiet, his gaze jumping between Rhiannon and me.
He's already pushed me to burnout once, I admit quietly.
A look passes between the guys and they stand.
Fine. I'll ask the obvious question, Riddick says as they cross the chamber. What the hell do you know that we don't?
I glance between all three of them. If I told you, and trust me, I've considered it, you would be the one strapped to the chair. I'm not about to let that happen.
Maybe you should let us decide what risks we're willing to take.
Sawyer cracks his knuckles and rolls his shoulders, already looking at the door.
Lesser magic isn't working on the lock, Riddick mutters, his hand extended toward the door.
Valid point, Sawyer, but this, I shake my head, it's not just about me.
Right now, it is, Rhiannon says. It's all about saving you. We can figure the rest out later. Sawyer, do your thing.
Already on it. We move out of his way, and he puts his hands up toward each of the hinges. His fingers tremble, and the hinges smoke, then melt. Hot metal drips down the edges of the door as he works.
Quick, before you accidentally weld us in here, Riddick lectures.
I don't see you melting anything, Sawyer responds from where he's crouched, sweat beating his brow as he melts the last hinge.
Relief nearly takes out my knees. We're going to make it.
The door wobbles and Rhiannon and I lunge toward the guys, both throwing up our hands over them. Wood smacks into my palm, sending a jolt of pain through my newly mended shoulder as we catch what feels like the heaviest door ever made.
Move, Rhiannon shouts.
The guys scurry out from under the door, then help us lower it to the floor.
We should consider quitting the quadrant, Riddick jokes as we walk over the door and out of the chamber. We'd be kick-ass thieves.
With dragons, Sawyer agrees.
Unstoppable, Riddick says with a grin.
We pause at the desk only long enough to retrieve our weapons. I feel a little less panicked, less vulnerable with every blade I sheath.
Ready?
Rhiannon asks, gripping her short sword. Guess I'm not the only one who disdains feeling helpless. We all nod, then head for the main door. Hope lives for all of a millisecond.
It's the same kind of lock. Lesser magic isn't working, Sawyer seethes, already putting his hands out.
Heat prickles along my ribs. It's the same feeling I get when I walk through the wards on my door. I look down and stare. The dagger closest to the door handle is hot and tingling. I pull it from the sheath, bumping against the door handle as I brush my thumb over the decorative pommel. Metal clicks against metal, and we all turn to look at the lock.
What the hell?
Sawyer's eyebrows jump.
I don't know. That's impossible. Knives don't open locks, but the heat and the tingling sensation are gone.
Someone stop staring and try the fucking door, Rhi orders. Reaching for the handle, I hold my breath as the latch depresses. I pull. The door opens.
Holy shit.
It's coincidence. It has to be. Magic isn't tied to objects like that.
Holy shit, later. Escape now, Rhi says. Go!
Right. I sheathe the blade and yank the door open.
An excerpt from Tactics, A Personal Memoir by Lieutenant Lyran Pancheck. If we ever choose to invade enemy territory, which we don't, I would choose Zolia as my first target. Take out Cliffsbane Academy, and you take out years of Griffin Riders in one strike. Chapter 25. We race out of the cave and into the morning air, the rising sun hitting us in the face. Throwing up our hands to shield our eyes, we run forward into the knee-high grass that spans the distance from the cliffs to the trees.
Where did you get those knives? Rhiannon asks when we're halfway to the line of oaks.
Zayden,
It doesn't even occur to me to lie. He had them made for me.
Well, this is an unexpected delight, Professor Grady says from behind us. We spin and I draw two daggers. I'd rather visit Malik than go back into that chamber. But I will, for the final exam. Think about that later, Taryn commands.
I'm fine, thanks for asking.
Of course you are. I chose well.
Professor Grady grins and sets down his mug as he rises from the chair that sits a few feet away from the door against the rocky cliffside. Rhiannon strides forward, lifting her sword in attack position with her right arm and extending her left hand. We'll take that patch now. Dane doesn't look me in the eye at any point over the next few days, and I don't make the effort to talk to him. What could I even say? Thank you for doing the only decent thing and not violating my privacy?
I'm just saying that spending every weekend flying for Samara or holed up in your room with Ryerson isn't good for you,
Riddick says as we climb the staircase of the academic wing with the crowd headed for battle brief. As opposed to, I glance over at him and wince. His cheek is still black and blue. Thanks to Nolan, there's not a mark on me. It's anything but fair. We lost a first year, Tristan, to gauntlet practice while we were in interrogation, and missed the formation where they called his name on the death roll, too. That isn't fair either.
Being a normal second year and spending some time blowing off a little steam every now and then,
Sawyer answers for Riddick from my other side. Ever since the interrogation, my squad mates have barely let me out of their sight. I'm fine, I tell them both. This is just what happens when mated dragons bond to riders in different years. 24 hours from now, I'll be in the saddle on my way to Zayden.
It's why they usually don't do it,
Riddick mutters. First squad lost someone, Rhiannon says, coming up behind us as we reach the second floor. They just came out of interrogation about an hour ago. Sorel's name will be on the death roll tomorrow. My heart drops. The interrogation assessment has now taken 2 second years.
The girl with the kick-ass bow skills?
Sawyer gapes at Rhiannon as she scoots behind us.
Yeah, she says quietly.
A scribe cadet walks by, but I can't see who it is with the hood up. That's odd. Usually, they're only in the quadrant for death roll or whenever Markham needs extra people.
Did she break? Riddick asks.
Or did they break her? I don't. Rhiannon's words stop short. And so do we when 2 first-wing squads move off the wall and into our path.
Can we help you?
They're all second years. I drop my hands to my sides close to my daggers.
You guys escaped, right?
Caroline Ashton asks, lowering her voice.
That's what people are saying about the new patch.
She taps beside her own shoulder, where we now wear a circular silver patch with a black key. It's a classified patch, Sawyer says.
We just want to know how you did it,
Caroline whispers as the crowd pushes by us on the side to get to the briefing room.
Rumor is, it took them an entire day to reset the interrogation room after you guys.
The fact that she calls it a room and not rooms lets me know no one is really talking.
All we can tell you is the same advice you've already been given.
Don't break, Rhiannon tells them. Stick together, I add, holding Caroline's gaze even when she narrows it on me.
Shouldn't you all be in battle brief?
Bodhi asks, his voice booming as he comes up behind us. One look sends the other squads scurrying for the door. Taryn told me he felt Sigail get very angry last night, I say over my shoulder to Bodhi as we continue walking.
Anything I should know about?
Not that I'm aware of.
We separate as we walk through the wide double doors into the briefing room. My squad mates and I start down the steps, but something is off. The usual hum of the briefing room is approaching a roar of murmurs and outright exclamations as cadets pick up what looks to be leaflets lying on every seat.
What's happening?
Riddick asks. Not sure, I answer as we bypass the first cadets in our row and find our way to our seats.
I pick up the half sheet of parchment on my chair and flip it over as my squad mates do the same. My knees weaken as I read the headline. Zolia falls to Dragonfire. The third largest city in the Breivik province has fallen to the blue fire dragons and their riders. Though the city and its drifts fought valiantly, the two-day battle ended in Peromish defeat. All who did not evacuate have perished. An estimated 10,000 lives have been lost, including General Fenella, the commander of Breivik's Griffin fleet. All trade routes to the city have been barricaded to prevent further loss of life.
2 days ago.
My hand trembles, and I twist around toward the back of the room, my gaze jumping from one third year to the next until I find Bodhi and Imogen.
Oh, gods, Rhiannon whispers beside me. Bodhi and Imogen exchange a panicked look,
and then our gazes collide. What the hell are we supposed to do? Bodhi's tense shake of his head tells me he doesn't know either. Drawing the least amount of attention to myself seems prudent, so I turn back to face the map and slide into my seat.
Is this real?
Sawyer asks, turning over the parchment to examine it.
Looks real.
Riddick scratches the back of his neck as he sits.
Is this some kind of test to see if we can discern official proclamation leaflets from propaganda?
I don't think so, Rhiannon says slowly, staring at me. But my eyes are locked on the recessed floor and Professor De Vera, who has just been handed a leaflet.
Please be who I think you are.
Her eyes widen, but I only see them for a second before she turns to face the map, her head tilted back. I'd bet my life that she's staring right where I am now, at the little circle at the foot of the Esben Mountains along the Stonewater River that marks where Zolia stands. Stood. It's maybe a 4-hour flight from our border.
Violet?
Rhiannon's voice rises, like it's not the first time she's called my name.
What is all the commotion this morning?
Markham shouts over the briefing room as he descends the steps. Someone hands him a leaflet.
What do you think?
Rhiannon asks. I glance from my squadmate's furrowed brows to the leaflet and force the roaring in my ears to quiet as I make a quick study of the parchment.
Parchment looks like ours, but I've never personally seen any made outside the border. Typeset is standard to every printing press I've ever seen. There's no seal, Navarian, or Peromish.
I run my thumb over the larger, scrolling block letters of the headline, smudging the ink.
It's less than 24 hours old. The ink hasn't cured.
But is it real? Sawyer repeats his earlier question. The chances of someone hauling in all these leaflets from the border are next to nothing, I tell him. So if you're asking if it was printed in Poromiel, my head jerks up, and I see Markham's face blotch red as he says something to Caroline Ashton on the aisle. She jumps from her seat and runs up the stairs, disappearing through the door.
It was printed here,
I whisper, fear twisting my stomach into knots. Whoever did it is as good as dead if they left any trace.
So it's not real.
Sawyer lifts his eyebrows, the freckles on his forehead disappearing into the grooves of his skin. Just because it's printed here for public dissemination doesn't mean what's on it isn't real, I explain. But it also doesn't mean that it is.
We wouldn't do this, Sawyer argues. There's no way we send a riot to annihilate a city of civilians.
Attention!
Markham shouts, his footsteps thudding as he strides down the steps. The noise doesn't dissipate.
If someone was trying to get news out, they'd send one leaflet like this to the printing press to be approved by scribes.
I tell my squad mates quickly, knowing our time is short. Once approved, it would take hours to set the blocks to print unless multiple scribes worked on it. But this isn't official, there's no seal, so either it's fake and printed for just this class, which is a lot of work, or it's real and not approved. It's exactly what I would say if I didn't know the truth, and to be honest, I'm not certain this leaflet is the truth.
Riders!
De Vera yells, turning to face us.
Quiet!
The room falls silent. Markham's at the front of the classroom now, his features schooled in a mask of serenity as he stands beside Professor De Vera.
If I didn't know him better, I'd say he was almost enjoying the chaos. But I do, and he's rubbing his forefinger against his thumb. No matter what he says next, this wasn't his plan.
Apparently, he gestures to us, his palm facing upward. We are not ready for today's exercise. We were going to follow up on our discussion about propaganda, but I can see now that I overestimated your ability to judge a simple printing like this without hysteria.
The insult is delivered in unemotional monotone. Suddenly I feel 15 again, my self-worth determined by this man's opinion of my intellect and control.
Damn, Riddick sags in his seat. That's harsh.
That's Markham, I say quietly. You think only riders can be vicious? Words are just as capable of eviscerating someone as a blade, and he's a master. On the off chance that we actually did this and someone leaked the information? Rhiannon asks, glancing my way. You know him better than we do. What's his next move? First, I don't think we'd target civilians across the border. That's the truth. We just don't do anything to help them, either. But if he didn't print the leaflets, he'll discredit, deflect, then distract.
As it is, we have two much more pressing matters to discuss.
Markham lectures, his tone still cool.
So you will now pass all pieces of propaganda to the left, where they will be collected to discuss on a day when you're capable of being rational.
A ripple passes over the room as everyone hurries to do as he asks. I'm reluctant to let mine go, but it's not worth drawing attention. Professor De Vera folds hers with quick, precise movements and pockets it.
Honestly, Markham shakes his head. You should have been able to spot those leaflets as propaganda within seconds.
Discredit. I have to admit, he's good.
The stacks reach the ends of the rows, and then the cadets hand them forward, the pile growing and growing as it descends toward the floor.
When in the history of Navarre have we ever flown a riot comprised only of blue dragons?
He looks us over like we're children. Like we've been found wanting. Clever. He's so fucking clever. With the leaflets collected, every cadet in the room will question the exact wording. Every cadet except the riders, who know the meanings of that entire paragraph, came down to the placement of the word fire.
But, as I said, Markham claps his hands together and sighs, we'll return to this lesson when we're ready. Right now, our first order of business is here, and celebration is in order.
Deflection complete. Cue distraction.
I wasn't sure this day would come, which is why I hope that you'll forgive us for keeping the months of Colonel Nolan's hard work a secret. We didn't want to disappoint you if he could not pull off what will arguably be the greatest achievement of any mender in our history.
Didn't want to disappoint us? I barely manage to keep from rolling my eyes. Markham raises his hand toward the doorway and smiles.
He was crushed under the weight of a mountain a few months ago, but Nolan has mended bone after bone to return him to your quadrant.
Crushed under the weight of a mountain? It can't be. My stomach hollows, and the noise of the room muffles under the sound of my own blood rushing through my ears to the cadence of a drum.